Praise be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Let your words be manifested here today, Lord. Your words in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Whew. It sure is good to be home. Glory. Whoa. You know, in our travels, we see so much. Again, our enemy is deception. Deception. And so many times people are easily deceived. And the reason why they're easily deceived, let me tell you something. In God's presence, everything is revealed. Everything. That's why it's important. The anointing says, you know all things. So when we're not walking in an anointing, when we're not walking in the presence of God, we're easily deceived. See, we can't blame anyone or anything. One of the things the Lord said to me today, he says, you know, my people call, even my own people call what I'm doing evil. They call certain things of God evil because they can't see it themselves. Because they don't understand it. See, God speaks to us in multiple ways, in all kinds of ways. He's speaking us through the disasters right now. He's speaking through us all through music. He's speaking through us even through certain movies. He's speaking to us in so many multiple ways. But people are calling things that God is doing evil because they can't discern it. And he said to me, I want you to ask them to begin to repent for the things that they have called evil when it was my hand. So we're going to do that right off the bat. So, fathers, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And every listener and everyone watching, I'm going to ask you to agree with me. And I want you to just speak it with me. Lord, we repent for our ignorance of calling those things that you are doing evil because we don't see it or understand it. Forgive us and wash us so that that door is shut in our lives. In Jesus' name. While we were worshiping, the Lord walked up to me and he handed me a key. And this has happened more than once. And as he handed me the key, I couldn't open up my hand. And he said, don't let go. I didn't know what the key was referenced to. And I waited. But I knew the importance of the key. And he said, I've given you the key. Don't let go. And as we continued to worship and the presence of God just overwhelmed me and I began to weep. And in this area, in this realm, as I began to see what he was saying, I saw the key. I saw people's heads in cages. I saw people's souls in cages. I saw all bodies in cages. And he said, this is the key that will unlock them. And I began to walk up to them in the spirit. And there was heads that were in cages. And I began to unlock the key that was so that they can see, so that they could hear. I began to unlock areas in their soul so that their souls could be released that have been taken captive by the enemies and their parts of the body. And he said, the key is to release the prisoners. And as we continued to worship, and he brought me to another area, and I saw keys all over the floor, and God's people were stepping on them. They were stepping on the keys. And he was walking around putting keys in their hands. And they were just dropping them. And I said, why, Lord? He said, because they're not willing to exchange. They're still willing to hold on to the things of the world. And they can't hold on to the key. They can't hold on to it. And he said to me, the key is your tongue. The key, I've given you the keys to bind and loose, to open the prisons to those who have been taken captive. But the key is your tongue. He said, because they don't trust me, they don't maintain a covenant tongue. Would you turn to Psalm 103? I saw people be busy with the things of the world, and though they held on to the key for a period of time, then they would put it on a windowsill, they put it on a garbage can, they'd leave it on the top of their car, they'd leave it somewhere else for an exchange of something, because they're still fighting for their life instead of surrendering it. It is the key of the Lord, not the key of self. Only his key can open the prison doors of those who have been taken captive. Too many exchange the key for self. They forget. They get caught up in the world. They get caught up in the ways of self. They get caught up in self-religion. In Psalm 103, would you read it with me? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. His benefits. These are things that are blessings, benefits. There's nothing attached to these. They're benefits. They're freebies. Everyone say freebie. Do not forget His freebies. Who what? Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. These are the benefits of salvation. When you were saved, filled with the Spirit, it says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me. How do you bless Him? With your mouth. That's why we are to maintain a covenant tongue. Who maintains a covenant tongue maintains covenant. He who maintains covenant maintains the benefits, the freebies. In Hebrews chapter 8, so is healing a freebie? Is forgiveness a freebie? Is rescue a freebie? Yeah. It's a part of a benefit of salvation. It's a salvation package. But the enemy would like to tell you something different. In Hebrews chapter 8, in verse 7, let's speak it together. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Egypt is a representation of bondage. Judah is a representation of me and you now. We are the tribe of Judah. And the Lord has rescued us out of the world of bondage known as Egypt. He said, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my what? My laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. See, what he's talking about the area where he, first of all, put his laws on tablets known as the Ten Commandments. But the new covenant would be in the tablets of our heart. Amen? So they were from tablets of stone to the tablets of the heart. And the Bible says something powerful. It says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what he was saying is, I'm going to put my word in them. See, when you're baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, the word of God is in you already. Because he's the one that wrote it. You already know what's right and wrong, what's pleasing to God and what's displeasing. You already know. The Bible says that the word is sharper than a two-edged sword, isn't it? Which penetrates actually the spirit, soul, and body. It is the discerner of thoughts, isn't it? So the key is God's word. It's eternal. We must continue to maintain a covenant tongue so that not only we can keep ourselves out of captivity, but assist others by intercession. Law in the mind and hearts goes to the mouth. In Proverbs 18, remember, what you speak is what you eat. And what you eat is what you become. In verse 20, Proverbs 18:20. Oh, glory. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. And from the produce of his lips, he shall be what? Filled. What you eat is what? What you speak is what? What you eat. And what you eat is what you become. 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Again, maintaining a covenant tongue is essential. We just completed the series of the beginning and the end. Believe me, There's a lot of things that are happening right now, are going to happen. For me and you to continue to rescue those who've been taken prison, we must maintain a covenant tongue. That means coarse jesting, lying, cheating, everything else associated with a tongue that's displeasing to God, you will eat. Because what you sow is what you reap. That's why we've got to stop calling things evil that God is doing just because we don't understand it. In Proverbs 15, verse 28, Proverbs 15, verse 28, let's speak it together. The heart of the righteous studies how to what? Answer. But the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. So we're to learn how to answer, aren't we? And we're to answer according to the word of God, the sword, which is the key that locks and unlocks. Too many people are being taken in by compromise and complacency. Self-justification and pride is a killer. In Proverbs 16, in verse 23, Proverbs 16, verse 23, let's speak it. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. The heart of the wise does what? Teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. You know, think about it. Step back. What have you been saying for the last couple of days? Don't tell me. Don't tell your neighbors. God knows. What have you been saying? What have you been saying to your friends, your spouse? What have you been grumbling and complaining about? What are you calling good that's evil? What are you sowing to reap? Are you actually unlocking or are you locking? Are you fulfilling what God has asked you to do? Are you still compromising? Are you still justifying it? What about the commitments you made to the house of God, his body? You know, the Bible tells us that many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That doctrine of demon is a deceptive doctrine. It's a doctrine they want you to speak. In Proverbs 15:7, while we're still here, in verse 7, what does it say? The lips of the wise disperse what? Knowledge. But the heart of a fool does not do so. In other words, it despises knowledge. It rejects correction. It does self-justification. In John chapter 6, you know, there are going to be many believers who thought they were good. But God is going to expose their wickedness. And the purpose of exposure and shaking is so that people can awaken. In John 6:63, would you read it with me? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew that from the beginning who they were, who did not believe and who would betray him. The word believe means to follow. I don't care how long you've been a believer. If you're not following, you're betraying him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Peter said and answered, and Jesus said to him, Lord, to whom shall we? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of what? Eternal life. In other words, you have the words that are a key to unlock prisoners. Your words and my words won't lock, unlock, or do anything. In fact, they lock us. The words of the carnal and the words of the soulish arena will lock you. Well, this is how I feel. Oh, shut up. God isn't interested in how you feel. He's interested in whether you believe or not. Are you willing to follow? We're to cast our cares upon him. Feelings are cares, aren't they? Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all things will be added to you. Sometimes it's almost like I see the Lord pushing through everybody's feelings. Let me get to the person. But these are my senses and feelings, Lord. This is exactly what I want. I want you, not your feeling. I want you, not your senses. I want your problems. I want your concerns. Because that's the package deal that he accepts with your life. Then he says, now here's the key that will unlock everything in your life. But you got to speak and maintain a covenant tongue. A covenant tongue is essential. We have a booklet of prayers now. I'm going to add one more prayer in there before we start handing them out. Now, it's a prayer of healing. Boy, we have a booklet of prayers. Why? Because that booklet of prayers is the key. It's the eternal words of God. It's a key. It's a key to unlock yourself and others. Amen? In Psalm 119. Does God know what you're going through? Does he know what your struggles are? Does he know how you feel? Yeah. What's he trying to get to you? The key. The freebies. Psalm 119. All glory. Is everybody okay? 105. Let's speak it. Psalm 119, 105. Again, this is the package deal of salvation. When you think about salvation, it's called salvage, to salvage something. It's associated with redemption, to redeem. The package deal is healing. The package deal is to restore. See, but because we don't understand or comprehend, or we lose sight of that, and we begin to battle in the flesh and lose sight of the package deal that's been established, we lose sight that it's a freebie. It is a benefit for what Jesus did on the cross for me and you. It has nothing to do with how... Let me share something. When you speak the word of God, the power of God is released. But I still have pain. It doesn't matter. I still can't see. It doesn't matter. I still can't do... I still... See, then you're focusing on what the enemy's done. Let me share something with you. Everything that is attacking you, stealing from you, and trying to kill you is of the devil. All sickness is of the devil. Everything is of the devil. God didn't come to bring sickness on me and you. He didn't come to afflict me and you. It says, David said, when I went astray, I was afflicted. Why? Because when he walked away and went astray from the Lord, the enemy afflicted him. God does not train you, does everybody understand this, through your sicknesses. He doesn't need that to train you. So many people go, well, this must be a part of my suffering because God is trying to show me something. Yeah, he's trying to show you something, all right. He's trying to say, take the key and get the heck out of there. That's not me. See, these are deceptions of the enemy. Not that all things can't work to the good, right? We allow our own afflictions because we go astray. There's something we open the door to. See, if you're not in line with what God is asking you to do, the enemy has a legal right to steal, kill, and destroy from you. He'll wipe you out. That's his job. Is everybody okay? Psalm 105, it says what? Your word is a what? Lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. That's his word. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your what? Word. Accept, I pray, the free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand. In other words, my life is in my words. My life is in my words. Does everybody got that? My life is in my words. Why? Because if I'm speaking his words, then where's my life? It's in him. But if I'm speaking my words, where's my life? It's in me, and the enemy has access to it. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law or your word. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. That's his word. Your testimonies I've taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes. That's his word. Forever to the very end. John 15. See, when people are not truly honest with themselves, they can't be honest with God. God is light and love, and there is no gray area in God. John 15 and verse 1. Let's speak it, please. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the what? Word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If, that means you have a choice, therefore, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be what? It shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. In other words, without maintaining a covenant tongue, you will not maintain covenant. We ask for many things, and God isn't going to release them without abiding. And we've talked about abiding already. It's abiding in his word, abiding in his presence, abiding in the prayer, and abiding in fellowship. It is required. Those three abidings are required by the Lord so that it shuts the doors. Any one of those three of abiding, of forsaking not to assemble, abiding in his word and prayer, and abiding in his presence of worship, when any one of those three are broke, there's access. Happens every time. John chapter 1 and verse 14. You may have a form of godliness. You may have a form of religion. But the enemy's stealing, killing, and destroying because he knows that it's a form. John 1, 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, the Word became flesh. The creative words of God came into the natural realm, carried by his voice in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say that again. The creative words of God came into the natural realm, carried by his voice in Christ Jesus, to reconcile, to restore, to renew, to bring new. And all of this is done through the salvation in his death and resurrection of Jesus Christ right from the cross. All of this is a package deal from salvation. Reconciliation, restoration, renewing, bring new. I'm talking about not only physical healing, but emotional healing, mental healing, and financial healing. See, but if you're quoting things and not recognizing the fullness of what is done on the cross, then it doesn't come. Because your words must be backed by understanding. They must be backed by what? Understanding. If your words are not backed by understanding, they are seeds. But when they're backed by understanding, it is a sword. And that only the sword is the key. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit. That's why in the full armor of God, it talks about the what? Sword of the Spirit. Because the words are backed by what? Understanding. And understanding is associated with the anointing. Romans 5, covenant tongue. Boy, everybody's quiet today. You came to hear the truth, right? Listen, there's a war going on. You see everything that's going around you. There are so many people in captivity, it's incredible. There are so many believers that are in captivity, it's incredible. They've accepted Jesus Christ and are still in prison. Not knowing that's all they need to do is open the door. Not knowing that the key is the sword of the Spirit to unlock. Many people are still keeping the prison doors were open, and then because of the things that they say and the things that they do, they lead themselves right back into prison and lock the door. And the keys are left outside. That's when somebody's got to come and get a key. Sometimes you can't unlock yourself. Somebody needs to do it for you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Would you read it with me? For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received what? Reconciliation. That is the package deal of salvation. That everything be reconciled, restored, renewed, brought new. That's why the word says he who is in Christ is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. But if you have not understanding the fullness of the salvation that was done for me and you through the cross, then your words are seeds and are not a key. A seed cannot unlock a door. So everybody got it? Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Jesus all the fullness should dwell. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind, as a man thinks so he is, right? By wicked works or wicked tongue, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. If, this word if, that means therefore. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. That is his word, isn't it? In other words, if you maintain a covenant tongue, you'll maintain freedom. Which was preached to every creature under heaven of I, which I, Paul, became a minister. Whoa. So we must maintain the work of the cross, the gospel of salvation of the spirit, soul, and body. In other words, the salvation, maintaining that area where the tongue, which is the key to keep someone unlocked of your soul, of your body for healing, of your mind, of your finances, the fullness of salvation. It is the gospel. That's his words. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. According to the tradition of what? Men. That is according to your common sense. According to what you see, what you feel, what you think. This is where we must remove ourselves from those areas. According to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete where? In him, not out of him. That's why you must abide. Who is the head of all principalities and powers. In him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you what? All trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The fullness of salvation, the package deal. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Again, he disarmed the powers of darkness, nailing it to the cross, and is maintained in your life by maintaining a covenant tongue. Maintaining a covenant tongue. How many times has the Word of God always warned us about what we speak? You know, there are things that you might want to speak, but if it isn't a covenant tongue, don't speak it. Remember, the powers of darkness know exactly what's what. They're in every circumstance. They follow you around. They've been assigned to you. There are demons assigned to you. There are powers of darkness assigned to every single one so that they can try and sway your thoughts. They want to involve themselves in every one of your decisions, see, because they know what you think, because they can read your mind. They know. Their spirits will walk right through you. Sometimes you don't even know that they're walking through you. Don't leave them a meal to stay. People leave a meal for Santa Claus. We don't do that no more. Ephesians 3. You know, how many times do you feel like, you know, I just don't feel like going to service. I don't feel like going to church. Because your carnal mind thinks church. We're not a church, we're a body. We're a living organism. We come to connect. We come to get refreshed. We come to get exposed. We come to get healed. Wow, we come to maintain the full package of salvation. That's the purpose. You and I cannot survive without the three abidings. will easily be taken out, and we'll justify. We'll have a form of godliness. We'll call ourselves Christians, but we have a tongue of the serpent instead of a tongue, a covenant tongue. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. And we try to justify by works, thinking we're pleasing God. Let's read this together, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the what? Fullness of God. The fullness. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works where? In us. In us. See, when you speak the word with understanding, because it's backed by the anointing, the power of God is released. It has nothing to do with what you think or what you feel. It has nothing to do with it. Even individuals who don't have the understanding yet are decreeing the word of God, that seed is going. It's still light. It's doing something. Because what you sow is what you reap, and what you speak is what you eat. But individuals that are babies and they're in training, they're speaking. They're speaking the word of God. They may not have understanding. They're babes in Christ. But they're speaking, because what they're speaking, they're eating, they're bringing more and more light into them. And then all of a sudden understanding starts coming, and now power is being released. That's why it's time to mature. It's time to quit being a baby after following Jesus for 30 years. It's time to stop complaining. It's time to stop justifying and start recognizing. It's time to be a warrior. That's what God is raising up. He is raising up a Gideon army right now. Has everybody got it? A Gideon army. We're being tested. Oh, glory. The power in us, covenant tongue, releases the power of God. Again, we need to overcome senses, feelings, carnal sight, or the devil will continue to come, steal it, kill, and destroy. In Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? In verse 37. Acts 10, verse 37. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So, he was healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So where's sickness come from? The devil. But I inherited it. But it's still from where? The devil. All sickness is of the devil. For God was with him. So everybody got this? Let's go a little further. For we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to the witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people. Why would they preach to the people? To unlock them from prison. And to testify that he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. They were oppressed by the devil. But again, for you and I to maintain a covenant tongue, it is to maintain the fullness of salvation. Amen? The package deal. In Numbers 21. Numbers 21. In verse 5. Is everybody there? Numbers 21 and verse 5. And it said the people did what? They spoke. Everyone say spoke. Against God. And against who? Moses. So they spoke against God. And they spoke against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Were they grumbling and complaining? were they speaking out of their feelings? So what was that going to do? was going to imprison them, wasn't it? Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord said, send fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. I'll tell you what, people's tongues would change if that was still going on. But you know what? It is. The thing is they're not dying, but they are getting bit. They get bit with a poison. It is a poison. And what it does is open the door to demonic activity in our life. People still get bit by serpents. The thing is they don't see them anymore. But it is still happening. Is everybody okay? And many of them died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have what? Spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. In other words, the Old Testament is a shadow of what was to come. Because at some time, Jesus would be on the pole and would become the serpent for everyone. And anyone who would look upon him on the fullness of the salvation package would be healed. See, but what they did here, so Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on the pole, and so it was if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now the children of Israel moved on and camped in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and camped to Arabian in the wilderness, which is the east of Moab, toward the sunrise. From there they moved to the camp and camped in the valley of Zered. From there they moved, and they moved a bunch of places. From there they moved and camped in the other side of the Arnon, which is in a wilderness that extends from the border of the Ammonites, and from the Arnon is the border of Moab. Between Moab and the Amorites. Therefore, it is said in the book of the Wars of the Lord, which there is a book called the Wars of the Lord, and that's what was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, but we're not going to go there right now. Waham Esama, that's Hebrew, the brooks of the Aran, and the slope of the brooks that reach to the dwelling of Ar, and lies on the border of Moab. From there they went to Ber, which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together and I will give them water, and so forth. What occurred eventually, I'm not going to go all through all, is what they began to do then, after a period of time, they began to worship the serpent. They began to turn it into, see, the Lord said at that moment, do this. But then they began to worship. They began to make offerings to that bronze serpent and set it up. Eventually, it became an idol, and it had to be destroyed. And that's what the Lord did with Moses. Is everybody okay? So the serpent was a representation of Jesus, who would be the serpent for me and you then, which is sickness and disease. So did they all get bit by the serpent? Were they sick? Yeah. Did they die? Yeah. Again, too many times we're battling not knowing and accepting the full package of salvation. In John 3. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 14. Now let's start at 12. Jesus said, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that word believe means to follow. Isaiah 53. Covenant tongue maintains covenant. And when you maintain covenant, prayers are answered. In verse 1:53, Isaiah. Let's all speak this, okay? Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. Anybody had griefs? I said had. You don't anymore. You made exchanges. And carried our sorrows. Anyone had sorrows? Exchange it. That's what that exchange is prayers for. You're exchanging everything that Jesus did on the cross for you. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he is wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made him a grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. How many times has the mouth been mentioned? Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Everyone say, I'm his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And is still making intercession for me and you. And John, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. It says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whoever what? Abides. In him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus was manifested to destroy all the works of the devil. To restore all things, reconcile all things, bring all things new. But there's something we must cooperate with, a covenant tongue. And I want to close at Mark 16. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 16, let's speak it. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In other words, those who believe will have a covenant tongue because they follow. In my name, they will what? Cast out demons. Wow. Why? Because demons bring sickness. That's what the demons do. They bring everything. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. They're always trying to influence you to speak out of the carnal instead of out of the spirit. They will speak with new tongues. Hello. This is not only praying in the Holy Ghost, but this is also a new tongue. It's called a tongue of covenant. They will take up serpents, praise God, and they will cut their heads off. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover because they have the key to unlock them. That key is your tongue. You're either unlocking or you're locking, one or the other. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Again, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness of not abiding with a covenant tongue. I ask that you bring us revelation and more discernment to be more sensitive to the things that we think and what we speak. Lord, to be more sensitive to your conviction, to be more sensitive to those things that please you and displease you. We ask that you wash us with the blood, heal us with the stripes of Jesus today, and manifest your word by healing your people and unlocking them from sickness, disease, from bondage, from deception, from fear, and from the depths of Satan's kingdom, that they may be rescued and a sign and wonder to you. I want to thank all the listeners and all those who've watched today. I ask if you continue to follow along. You can learn more by going to theeternallibrary.org. And let's prepare our hearts today for communion. And you can bring your offerings up also. Amen.